You were just listening to Eternal Ocean from Unfinished Earth for Orchestra, dating from 2015, by my guest, Douglas Nians. You heard the Brno Philharmonic Orchestra, conducted by Mikhail Toms. Once again, music by my guest, Douglas Nians. Well, good morning. Good morning. The time is 3 minutes after 10 on Wednesday, May 23rd, and you are indeed tuned to WPRB, Princeton, New Jersey. Community-supported independent radio at 103.3 FM or online around the world at www.wprb.com. Welcome to another edition of Classical Discoveries. I am your host, Marvin Rosen, and I'm with you every Wednesday morning from 5 until 11. Thank you so much for joining me today, and I just want to let you know once again that I will be with you next from 5 to 9 a.m. tomorrow morning for a special edition of Treasures of Early Music. Again, that will be from 5 to 9 a.m. tomorrow morning right here on WPRB. Well, today we are being joined by American, or I should say the Australian-American composer, Douglas Nians. Douglas, welcome back. It's great to have you here. And we're going to, well, we have a little bit of a surprise because we are going to be listening to a little snippet from your hour-long operatic monodrama, Backwards from Winter, and this will be premiered this Friday, May 25th at 7:30 p.m. at Symphony Space. That's at 2537 Broadway at 95th Street in New York. For ticket information, you can go to www.symphonyspace.org. Douglas, this is very exciting. We're going to be hearing something that hasn't even been played yet.
Right, right.
I love that. That's what gets my juices flowing. Tell us a little bit what we're going to be hearing from this opera.
Okay, this is from the second scene in the opera called Fall. And this is where the singer, the woman, is really, for the first time, engaging with her deep, you know, loss and heartache. There's very subtle electronics in it, and basically just a solo voice. And this is from a rehearsal that was just yesterday.
Oh, this is so exciting.
I hope that Anke Briegel, who's the brilliant soprano, will forgive me for pirating this out of the rehearsal, but I think she sounds just spectacular. So I hope
we hear it right
the listeners
now.
Agree and that she agrees. So here it is. This is from Fall from Backwards from Winter.
Scott, my
You were just listening to, I guess it was a premiere, not just broadcast, but a premiere performance in a way. What were we just hearing, Douglas?
We just heard a little excerpt from the scene called Fall from Backwards from Winter with soprano Anke Briegel from Copenhagen.
And that will be premiered, the actual...
Premiered, yes. She's the star of the show on on Friday night. She'll be on stage for a whole hour singing as beautifully or even more beautifully perhaps than that. I think she's just a stunning, talented young woman.
And the opera will be performed again this Friday night at 7:30 p.m. It will be at Symphony Space, 2537 Broadway at 95th Street in New York. And you can get tickets and find more information by going to www.symphonyspace.org. Once again, music by my guest, Douglas Nyans. Well, you are having many premieres of your works coming up right now, and actually you just had one a few days ago.
I did.
Tell us about that. This was a performance by the Indian Hill Middle School Band in Cincinnati.
It was.
And I actually think you writing a piece for a middle school band, which kind of goes along with what we were talking about with your Ablaze Right releases. I think that's terrific.
Yeah, well, thanks. Well, you know, my son plays the French horn, and he's in the Indian Hill Middle School Band.
Oh, okay.
And I went to a concert, their winter concert, and they play just great, these little kids. You know, it's way simpler music than I would normally write. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's an educational mission, you know, to train these young musicians. But their director, Christopher Rotching, is just a superb teacher and really lifts these young musicians up. So I went to the concert, and mm-hmm. after the concert, we were out having ice cream, and my son said, "Dad, you know, we should write something." And I'm like, "What?"
Oh, well.
he said, "You know, write something for the band." And I said, "Well, I don't know. I mean," so he said, talk to Mr. Rotching. So I wrote him an email, and we got talking, and he said, "Sure, let's do it." So I wrote this little piece called "Phases of the Wind," which was not my title. We had a little lottery in the kids within the kids in the band,
oh, and to decide the title.
And
I think that's
one
great.
One of the girls in the band came up with that title. And so I used it as a spur for the titles of these three movements of this band piece. So, yeah, that was just premiered on Monday. Everyone was
excited,
keyed up, and the kids just did a tremendous job. I was so proud of them. It was a really great night.
Again, this is just spectacular. I think that is just wonderful. Let's go now to you've written some other pieces for younger people, yes?
I haven't written too
not
much.
A lot.
Too much for
that.
Younger people.
Yeah, you told me that before.
I've written a set of little Beatrix Potter songs for soprano and guitar, and I had a residency once at Port Washington Schools when I was doing my master's degree, and I wrote a little kind of a improvisatory piece for a bunch of their students up there too. There's nothing like young people to bring, you know, passion to music. You know, it's incredible.
I agree
what they
with
do.
That. Yeah. I agree with that. That is so important. And congrats on another premiere the other night.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Well, speaking of writing music, let's address the idea of writing as a composer.
Mm.
Do you begin with just an idea or theme? Could you discuss briefly how you begin a composition and how it evolves?
That's really interesting. Well, you know, maybe I should talk about Unfinished Earth in that
way. Okay, that's fine, sure.
You know, one of the things I first think about when people ask for a work is, well, what kind of work do you want? I mean, how long do you want? What are the limits? Are there any limits? And I was so fortunate in Unfinished Earth because Mark Gibson said to me, write what you want. I said, you mean I can write a half hour piece? He said, sure. So that's what I decided to do, write a symphony length piece. So I knew that this was going to be a big, heavy piece. And I knew I wanted it to be not one long continuous work, but a work in three movements.
Right.
So those are the kind of architectural first decisions. Yeah. And then it's about the character of the movements. What are they going to be? And then digging down a little bit further than that, just what the structural approach is going to be. Like, how am I going to, like, work with time? You know, how am I going to sequence it? Okay, if the first movement is going to be 10 minutes long or whatever,
how am I going to sequence
materials through that? So that's like from the 10,000 feet up level. Then I start to work really on the kind of micro level of musical ideas. I start sketching out ideas and try and get the form to, like, amplify the ideas and have the ideas to fill out the form, so that I'm working always kind of on the middle ground of the piece between the detail and the overall design, to get the expressive world and the timbral world and the intensity that I want in the piece.
Right. Okay. Interesting. Now I'm going to ask you another, interesting question. You, as a professor, composition professor for many, many years, you have students. As an established composer, Douglas, what do you tell students? What advice do you give to young, aspiring composers?
Write more and think less. I think that, you know, sometimes young composers can get so in their heads about ideas and techniques and pre-compositional things that, you know, by the time a note hits the darn page, you're 6 months down the road. So I think you learn a lot through writing something down and assessing, is that close to what I want? Is it going to work? Where you're making kind of practical decisions note to note. And you can't do that if you're all in your head just thinking in these kind of aesthetic terms all the time. So I really encourage young composers just to write. Keep writing. And don't let a day go by when you're not writing.
That's good thought and good advice. What about the idea of composers writing for their friends' small ensembles and not trying to write the big Mahler symphony right off the bat?
Yeah, I think writing is the first piece of advice. Second piece of advice is get it performed. So you can understand, you know, what are the limits. I mean, people are just human beings trying to get by, you know, on their instrument, and you can make some really crazy demands of players. And I think it's really important to respect both limitations and what players can bring, you know, to performance. So you're not going to learn that just with sitting at your desk with your manuscript paper. You have to get out there and put that before some human beings with instruments.
Very good. Interesting thoughts. Very good. Well, let's go on now to another piece of music. We are going to hear your composition for orchestra titled Ripple. Tell us the significance of the title before we hear the work, which is actually premiered, if I am not mistaken, on the south coast of New South Wales in 2002.
Yes, it was. And then it had a subsequent performance in Kiev with the National Philharmonic of Ukraine, National Symphony Orchestra of Ukraine, I believe it's called. I was guest there at a big festival, new premieres of the season's festival. I was one of three featured international composers there, and they performed this piece there. And at the premiere, I went to the dress rehearsal, and it was unrecognizable, and I was freaking out. I thought,
oh my God,
how are they going to play this piece? So I went up to the conductor. I said, what's going on? I mean,
this is not this what
is,
I wrote.
This is nothing, not even close. And he said, tonight will be good. I said, how will it be good? I can't even recognize
and this
it
now.
This was in Kiev.
In Kiev, yeah.
So I'll tell you the story. I went back to my hotel, and I thought, okay, maybe I should just get on a plane and, like, leave now. And then I thought, maybe I won't go to the premiere. And then I came to my senses and thought, no, I've got to go. I've got to go. For better or worse, I've got to go. But I'm going to sit alone. So I sat there and listened to the few pieces before mine. Then my piece was up, and it started, and it was fantastic. I mean, it was a meticulous performance. I don't know.
So what happened?
I have no idea. I don't know how they pulled it off. All I thought is, well, maybe they wanted to get lunch, because it was the last piece on the rehearsal before lunchtime. And I thought, well, maybe they just all wanted to get lunch. But that night, it was unbelievably good.
It was. Well, you know, your comment is really, I think, food for thought. Mm. But I'll leave that alone.
Yeah.
But that's so interesting, though, because on we talked, I mean, you told me you had something fun to share about this piece when we talked earlier here.
Yeah, well, that was it.
And that was it. Oh, my gosh. Well, let's listen now. Go ahead.
Did you but the piece itself, you asked about the title, Ripple.
Yeah, sure,
The piece itself starts with these big chords and repeated notes. And I use both of those ideas to develop throughout the piece. So the ripple kind of effect is in how I use this idea at the very start to generate the rest of the whole piece. So these big hits come back in what are called hockets later on and create a kind of a turbulent kind of pattern. And then I slow it down in the middle section, and then I speed it up again towards the end. It's kind of in a three-part
form. Yeah, I know. This is a super piece.
Oh, thank you.
That's why I thought we would do it. We listen now to Ripple by my guest, Douglas Nians, as performed by the Czech Philharmonic, conducted by Robert Ian Winston. You were just listening to music by my guest, Douglas Nians, who's sitting right next to me and can't wait to let you all know what you just heard.
That was a piece for symphony orchestra called Ripple that was played by the Czech Philharmonic and Robert Ian Winston.
And that's, again, music by my guest, Douglas Nians. Well, I want to go right to another piece of yours. In fact, this was maybe the first work of yours that I heard that really got me interested in your music. Just a beautiful atmospheric composition titled Drift for solo oboe and strings. Why don't you tell us briefly about it and who our performers are?
Okay. I'm so bad with years, but... Some years ago, I had the opportunity to write a work for string orchestra and the principal oboe of the Cincinnati Symphony Orchestra. So I thought, well, what will I do? It's only about a 10-minute work. So I started having this notion of this vision almost of these very long held tones in the oboe above quietly kind of moving string harmonies. And this idea of drift got hold in my imagination, of almost like clouds passing against a summer sky or something, and how the clouds kind of morph and overlap each other. And I try to do that a little bit with the materials in this piece. And I also wanted to try and see if I could artificially kind of suspend time, or seem to kind of suspend time in it, even though there's still motion. So those were the kind of compositional objectives. And I also wanted to write something that was really pretty for the oboist to play. So those are the things I tried to do on the outset of it.
Well, we're going to hear this composition, and our oboe soloist is Vladislav Borovka. And we also hear the Brno Philharmonic Orchestra, conducted by Mikhail Toms.
My chief champion.
Drift for solo oboe and strings, a very beautiful composition by my guest, Douglas Nians. You were just listening to music by my guest, Douglas Nians, and that was...
That was Drift for oboe and string orchestra, performed by Vladislav Borovka and the Brno Philharmonic Orchestra, conducted by Mikhail Toms.
Once again, music by my guest, Douglas Nians. Well, Douglas, when I do have guests, I always like to ask what they enjoy doing outside of music. What are some of your non-musical hobbies?
I really like cooking, and especially since about 3 years ago I became vegan, so, you know, that's a big shift in in your culinary, you know, activities in the kitchen. So that's been really interesting. And so our house, you know, my wife has celiac disease, so we have to be kind of gluten-free, and I'm a vegan, and my kids are still growing up, so they want, like, meat. So it's a little nutsy with the cooking.
It sounds like you should open a restaurant.
Yeah. But it's fun. I really enjoy that and enjoy walking, and we have a little dog, so we go on walks a lot. And
tell us about your little Shih Tzu.
It's a Maltese Shih Tzu cross, a little girl called Honey, and... She's just the sweetest little thing, and the squirrels around our house drive her crazy. And
how old is she?
She's 7.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So she's getting up there.
Does she jump on you all the time?
She does.
I know they do.
She
we
does.
Had one.
She does. Yeah. She likes to be in your lap a lot. So they're bred as lap dogs, and they behave that way. Yeah. So, you know, she's a good time. And I like to hike. I like to ski occasionally.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that's exciting. That's terrific. Well, before we sign off, why don't you share with us a bit about what is coming up for you musically in the future?
Well, I've got a busy summer. This opera is premiering this Friday, and it, interestingly, is being prepared in a wholly different production with a different cast for a festival in Australia in next month. So in the space of 2 months, this will
Are
have
you
two different.
Going back?
Yeah, I'll be going back for it. And it's a company based in Amsterdam that is taking the show to Australia. So, you know, by the end of June, I'll have these two totally separate productions with two totally
terrific.
Separate videos. So that's really exciting for me. And then after that, I'm still working on a commission from my doctor.
From your doctor.
When I was a kid,
right.
When I was like 20,
sure.
My just GP knew I was a musician, knew I was a composer, and came to hear my first orchestra piece, and with the Melbourne Symphony Orchestra in Australia, and years passed. I moved away. I told you how we've moved back and forth.
Sure.
And then suddenly I get an email.
Mm-hmm.
This is like 6 months ago, I get an email, you know, about a commission. And so he wants me to write a new work for him, which I'm in the throes of doing. And after that, I'm writing a new violin concerto in the fall. And then a new work also for Piro Ensemble.
Oh, yes.
And three Chinese instruments for a Carnegie Hall concert in October. So that's the fall.
Busy.
Yeah,
you
pretty busy.
Are a busy guy. Well, before we sign off, Douglas, I don't know what to say, but I just want to thank you so much for coming.
Marvin, likewise, I want to thank you for having me here all this time. This is great.
This was so much fun. It was so much fun. And again, thank you so much for coming on, and best of luck with everything and with the premiere Friday.
Well, thank you so much. I'm really looking forward to it, and thanks for your time today.
It was great. It was great to have you. Well, I would just like you to know that you can visit my website if you want more detailed information about any of the selections played today on Classical Discoveries. The address of my site is www.classicaldiscoveries.org. The detailed playlist, as well as the MP3 audio sound files for today's program, will be posted on my website by this evening. Also, if you have any comments or questions, feel free to email me directly at marvinrosen@classicaldiscoveries.org. Again, that's marvinrosen@classicaldiscoveries.org. Well, you have been listening to Classical Discoveries with your host, Marvin Rosen. I just want to let you know that I will be with you next, believe it or not, from 5 to 9 a.m. tomorrow morning for a special edition of Treasures of Early Music. And do hope you can join me for that. Thank you so much for joining me today. Wilbo is coming up right at 11, and I hear it is absolutely beautiful outside, and I am looking forward to getting outside and enjoying the rest of the day. Well, we are going to sign off as we began with a choral composition by my guest, Douglas Nienz. We sign off with this very beautiful setting of Panis Angelicus as performed by the CCM Chorale, conducted by Brett Scott. Music once again by my guest, Douglas Nienz. We listen to his Panis Angelicus. Again, thank you so much for joining me on this Wednesday morning.